Christmas Comes Whether You're Ready or Not by Cynthia Fratto. I'm always in a bit of shock when December 1st arrives on the calendar. I always feel like there should be at least another week beyond Thanksgiving before I can even contemplate the next holiday. Of course, that's an American writer. I think, however, that beyond the incredible demands of the season, the hardest part to reconcile is that the heart is not always in sync with angels, presents, babes in mangers, and the ho-ho-ho that is Christmas. Sometimes it feels like you just go through the motions because that's what is expected. Sometimes I wish Christmas would take a vacation and return midwinter next year. Yet there is something compelling about the fact that Christmas comes no matter what. The celebration of the birth of Jesus comes no matter the season of your heart. The Prince of Peace, the baby that would bring a message of universal equality, compassion, forgiveness, and love, is reborn again and again and again, no matter our state of mind or being, indeed, in spite of it. Perhaps that is the real miracle of the season, that hope and possibility cannot be denied. As I contemplate the state of the world at this moment in time, I cannot think of anything more needed than a reminder of our potential to bring peace and healing and possibility into our lives. We don't always feel it or see it or think it is there, but then there comes Christmas, even when we aren't ready to receive it. A reminder that no matter what season of the heart that we are in, no matter what struggles or grief are consuming us, Christmas will not let us forget the light that was born in us, even on the darkest night of our souls. So even if you can't deal with all the razzle-dazzle and expense of this holiday, at the very least, open the inn door and prepare the manger of your heart for the gentle but powerful message that is seeking to be reborn in you. Never forget that you are a child of the universe, and where there is life, there is light and love and hope waiting to be reborn again and again and again. So turn on some twinkling lights, pour yourself a glass of eggnog, or not, or wine, and wait for that angel chorus to announce your heart's rebirth.
Just now, as I was singing that hymn, or reflective hymn, I again had an appreciation for the beauty of some of the words in our hymnal, words by Samuel Longfellow. The last stanza was, "With wider view come loftier goals, with fuller light, more good to see, with freedom, truer self-control, with knowledge, deeper reverence be." That speaks to the heart of Unitarian Universalism. The more we learn, the more knowledge we have, the more freedom we give ourselves, the more we exercise self-control. The title that I chose for today's sermon is, Does Christmas Hold Out Hope for Unitarian Universalists? Let me spare you the suspense. To the extent that I dare attempt to speak for Unitarian Universalists, I will answer this in the affirmative. First, let's agree that the roots of our faith tradition are set deeply in Christian soil. Unitarians were originally Christians who rejected the idea of the Trinity, the idea that Jesus and God were coexistent from the beginning of time. And Universalists were Christians who rejected the idea of hell, at least as hell as a destination following death, preferring to focus on a God of love rather than a God of retribution. But we should be clear, both traditions, both of our founding traditions, revered the moral teachings and the example of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. The story of Christmas begins with the virgin birth. This aspect of the story is at once critical to the story and at the same time totally unnecessary to the storyline. The Christmas story is told in retrospect, of course, begins with Mary being with child, not in the normal way, but from the Holy Spirit. This is the first miracle in a long line of miracles told about Jesus. And anyone, of course, is free to believe in any or all of these miracles as literal truth. But I'm not suggesting that these miraculous stories are the reason that we find hope in the Christmas story. As my professor told me in class in seminary, you know, it could be that Mary was a virgin impregnated by the Holy Spirit, but there may be a simpler explanation. It was one of those moments of epiphany in a Christian seminary to hear, he was a Presbyterian minister say something that I could identify with. These miraculous episodes in the life of Jesus are critical to the story. And forgive me, and I'm so happy that there's another engineer in the room today, and there may be more than one. But I hope you appreciate this metaphor. The miraculous episodes in the life of Jesus are critical to the story because they are the carrier wave. The carrier wave that brought this very human story of an exceptional human being across 2,000 years to us today. See, the carrier wave in terms of radio transmissions is an electromagnetic wave that moves the radio signal through space and time. The carrier wave is what makes radio transmission through time and space possible. But the actual message, the radio signal that we want to listen to, is embedded in very small variations in either the amplitude or the frequency of that carrier wave. The carrier wave itself has to be filtered out in order to perceive that information, the music or the voice embedded in the transmission. In this analogy, the story of the miracles associated with the life of Jesus are the carrier wave. The miracles are what makes the story so repeatable and so enduring, and why they've been told over and over again over 2,000 years. But it's the humanity of Jesus that is the signal. We need to filter out the miracles in order to find the hope in Christmas for Unitarian Universalists. The life of Jesus is bracketed by the stories of Christmas and the stories of Easter, both miraculous. And if you filter out the miracle of the bodily resurrection of Jesus, then you have to work harder to find the message of hope in Easter. But it is there. Harder to find. However, the story of Christmas without the virgin birth is still a universal story of hope. The birth of a child. For each child that's born, the morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. The birth of a child is always a time of hope. A time of belief that this child will make a difference in the world. And that this is the realized message of hope in Christmas. As much as Jesus was an inspired prophet and teacher, his story would be lost to us without the carrier wave of the miracles. The wonderful truth of the world we live in and the source of hope is that there are untold numbers of people leading lives of equality, compassion, and forgiveness. But the message of hope in Jesus' life would also be lost without the dedication of his disciples who spread his message. And there is a message of hope for you and for me. For 800 years or so before the birth of Jesus, the Jewish people had been developing the idea of a Messiah. For some 800 years they had been persecuted, living under one empire or another that took away their freedom. During this time, they were developing the idea of a Messiah who would save them from the domination of these conquering empires. The idea of Messiah is central to Judaism, although its interpretation is debated to this day. One way to look at the phenomenon of Christianity is to see it as the outcome of a conscious decision by a small number of Jews, a decision to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. In this interpretation, the disciples of Jesus didn't find the Messiah. They chose to create the Messiah. when they chose to follow Jesus. And they changed the history of the world in the process. For me, this is the message of hope. Happiness and satisfaction in life depends on having meaning in our lives, having connection with something greater than we are as individuals. The message of Christmas is that we're not constrained by circumstances to find a meaning. We don't have to keep looking for hope, for the hope of finding a meaning. Instead, we're living in a universe that invites us to create meaning, to give meaning to our lives. Just as the otherwise ordinary birth of a child in circumstances of poverty was given meaning by the disciples of Jesus. The brave disciples of Jesus made a decision to follow the radical teachings of this social outcast, a person who taught radical inclusion and love. There were other candidates for Messiah, many of them. John Dominic Crossan, in his book, The Great Prayer, points out that Jesus and John the Baptist were rivals for the mantle of Messiah. Where Jesus taught a message of love and peaceful resistance, John the Baptist was more radical, more prone to violence. And John the Baptist taught that the kingdom of God would come as a violent overthrow of the existing order. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was within us and could be realized by us at any time. We're not constrained to find meanings in our lives. We can decide to give meaning to our lives. And when we choose our leaders, we're making such a decision. So again, the story of Christmas is one of hope. Hope for true leadership that takes us to a kinder and gentler future. I talked in earlier sermons about the need to tell our stories as Unitarian Universalists. Our stories are not ones of supernatural miracles, but nonetheless, they're great stories to tell. For example, I want us to lay claim to one of the greatest of all Christmas stories, Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol is the quintessential Unitarian Universalist Christmas story. Dickens himself joined the Unitarian Church at one time, although I understand he later migrated back to liberal Anglicanism. A Christmas Carol is a beautiful Christmas story. It carries the message of the life of Jesus without mentioning God or Jesus. Dickens wrote a book called The Life of Our Lord, a retelling of the Christian Gospels, and he wrote it specifically for his children. It was a private manuscript, and he forbade publishing it in any form or providing copies to anyone. It was not to leave the house, in fact. Dickens died in 1870, and it was only many years after his death, in fact, the death of his last child, that it was finally published in 1934. I have a copy that I brought with me, 1934 publication. The book begins with the retelling of the Christmas story, without any reference to a virgin birth. Instead, he puts these words into the mouth of an angel. There's a child born today in the city of Bethlehem near here who will grow up to be so loved, to be so good, that God will love him as his own son. And he will teach him to love one another, not to quarrel or to hurt another, and his name will be Jesus Christ. Does Christmas hold out hope for Unitarian Universalism? Universalists? Of course it does. The birth of every child holds out hope for humanity. Some births like that of Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or Mahatma Gandhi or Wada Hitchmanova, for that matter, will be celebrated by millions or at least by thousands of people. Other births will bring love into the world in a more modest way. But always a birth is a reason for hope. I recognize that this time of year is not a joyful time for everyone. We acknowledge that every year with our Blue Christmas service that we had just last week. But my hope for you this morning is that you will be blessed with the spirit of hope at Christmas. May it be so.